Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Red News Podcast 244. And we're coming to you live and direct from Pilsen. I'm here with Danny, John, and Phil. We're in a coffee shop slash bar, which is quite genuinely is campus Christmas, isn't it?
It's even got
a pink Christmas tree. But we fit right in. Yeah, we needed to come somewhere a little bit off the beaten track because we're conscious of the fact we wanted to record the pod on the train here just now, but then we didn't reserve seats in first class.
Americans invaded,
and then it just all went chaotic. Danny insisted we went first class because it was only a couple of quid cheaper.
Dearer, rather.
Impressions so far, gentlemen?
Like Prague.
Yeah.
Really impressed with Prague.
We stayed in Prague last night.
Not had a lot of time there, but I've been before, so I knew I was going to see, but it is nice. It's super clean. Nice place. Rubbish dumplings, though. Really, really rubbish dumplings, Philip.
I think that was the bar, not the...
Fantastic architecture.
Yeah,
beautiful city. Would imagine it's great in summer, full of stag do's and hen parties.
To ruin it.
And then we've just got the train over this morning. It's like an hour and a half train to Pilsen, and it's pretty small place, isn't it? On first impressions, our hotel. We checked into our hotel and found it's like literally 5 minutes away from the ground. So we had a wander over to the ground just to check it out, and we just walked straight in, didn't we? But no one's taken up the invitation to hide in the toilets for 4 hours, have they?
Yeah, far too cold.
We'll start off by... We'll touch on the subject of match tickets, which is quite a touchy subject, because there's only one of the four of us who's got a ticket, haven't we?
Yeah, and we've got 7 credits. So when we looked at the allocation and calculated, you know, who's above us on 10, 9 and 8 and how many, we should, the 7th pot, at least half should have had tickets, and it didn't even come, but only a few of the 8s got tickets, so where these tickets have been siphoned off somewhere, and it's naughty, isn't it? Sponsors and everything else, isn't it?
I expect that there'll be a couple of hundred of that's been filtered off to the Czech Supporters Club or something like that, or there'll be like loads of sponsors in there, but I've got no doubt tonight in that way.
Is Coggy going to investigate it for us?
I don't know, but people don't know Coggy personally.
Yeah, so what you've got to look at, you said it's only a couple of hundred there, you know, putting it in percentage terms of our allocation, that's a massive percentage that's been siphoned away from people that normally go on Euro aways. That's the thing.
Yeah,
it's a little bit.
It's just even more apparent with such a minuscule allocation, really, isn't it? If the club can do these things without really anyone noticing when there's 3,000 tickets.
They can, yeah, because the lads that normally go get them anyway, and there's never any sort of fuss.
Yeah,
if you like.
It's possible the reason why Ashworth got sacked.
Why? Because he took 200.
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah. Possibly. I think the biggest thing, I mean, another thing is the comedy of the last couple of days contacting the tickets office about it. When I emailed them and said, look, I'm here anyway, any late returns, just, you know, let me know because there'll be electronic tickets. And we got a message back, an email back saying, under no circumstances will any be returned, ever. It's impossible. And then an hour later, 30 get returned and they're offering them out.
Yeah, bizarre.
I mean, the other issue with tickets is what they've done over the past couple of weeks and got completely rid of concessions for match days at Old Trafford.
Well, that's just,
so, yeah. You know, for my lad who's 18, he used to get a concession. So, as opposed to paying 66, he paid 44. He now has to pay £66.
Even 44 for a lad that age is an expense.
It's 33% more for a lad at 18 years old, and the club talk about wanting to get younger fans into the ground, but then completely get rid of concessions for the rest of the year.
You're right there, because you've only got to look round the people that got off our train. You know,
and I look young.
I'm 51. I'm one of the youngest to get off that train.
Yeah.
You know, and they want a younger fan base, and then they're just alienated by 66 quid a game. It's just bizarre.
We were talking, because like James has been to more and more games, hasn't he, this season? Yeah. He's just at that age now where he's really, really getting into it.
Yeah.
And it's just sad. It's like a real kicking, slap in the face, isn't it? Yeah. For people that age, there's just no... There's no... Like, for such a small thing for the club, they're clawing back like a couple of £100,000 or whatever, but there's no acknowledgement of the effect that has on grassroots supporters, you know, especially like the concessions. People that age don't have the money to buy a ticket for February in August. They're only looking 6 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've no doubt it'll run and run, this one, because it's not going to go away.
No,
it's diabolical what the club have done.
Well, the other thing linked to that sort of is this Euro away ticket collections as well, trying to save money on that, because that is now an absolute farce. I mean, I know we whinged 15 years ago about, you know, this is stupid, we've got to collect it, but it actually ended up a really good system, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a really
good system. Didn't really mind that much.
Made people go.
Yeah. Now, every man and his dogs.
People are just going, well, I'm not sure it's that bad yet, because the people who've got like the high number of credits are the people who they've achieved them by travelling to the games anyway.
Correct, of course.
But what it does do is it becomes the closed shop that it's often been accused of being.
Even more so.
Ultimately, in 2 or 3 years' time, you'll see that.
Yeah, because for example, if we go to 3 a year. People like us are going to be booking all eight.
Yeah.
You know, and we'd be fools not to, otherwise we'll fall behind.
Yeah.
It's just nonsense, you know, just to save how much should they save them?
Well, I've seen the figure like 600 grand bandied around. I don't know, but...
But you look at the money we've spent paying Ashford for Newcastle.
I get it's expensive to take a 15, because there's like 15 staff at those pickups, weren't there? Because you've got like four or five security, and then you've got 10 people behind the desk. And I get it how that's expensive to take all them abroad and put them in an hotel for a couple of nights. But like today, there's only 600, so they could have done this with a skeleton staff.
And it's peanuts to their turnover, you know, and what the peanuts.
They've got to do that. Introduce like random collections, even if collections aren't going to be the norm. Otherwise, it's just going to get silly.
Yeah, must do the randoms. Yeah.
Anyway, so
what about the game?
We'll swerve away from moaning about tickets.
Dan,
what do you reckon about? Let's say Amarin. What are your first impressions? Am I asking the wrong person,
John? You
are
absolutely wrong.
Hang on, we'll come to you last.
My first impression is I like the idea that he's trying to implement a new system, but he's giving all players a chance. So he's giving all players at the moment. He doesn't know the players. He doesn't know his best team. He's clearly he wants to play that system. I don't think he's going to change from that.
Yet,
I don't think he's going to change from that yet. So I've been quite impressed. But I've been quite impressed with him. He's been open and honest. You know, he's been open and honest in the press conferences. He seems quite an approachable person. You know, when you look to Ten Hag, you know, I felt Ten Hag were quite insular. It could have been a language thing with Ten Hag, but at least, you know, he seems to be open. He seems to be honest. He seems to be trying to connect with the history of the club and the fan base. You know, that's what he seems to be doing at the moment.
The problem is it could be too honest, because a couple of times he's come out, and whether that's a language thing, it's almost like he's thrown the players under the bus.
Yeah, and that's my problem.
That's bad. And that's also, I don't know if it's true, I read something, I know it's on the evening news on my phone at the airport yesterday, about what, you know, and it's asking me about Ashworth, and he come out and he said, oh, it's terrible. And so you can't be, as a manager of Manchester United, you can't be.
No.
Maybe he doesn't understand that.
He has to toe the party line.
Putting that to one side, the football inside, I'm a bit, I don't know, I think this three at the back, five at the back, whatever you want to call it, I think we haven't got the players to do it at the moment. Whether when he makes a few signings in the summer and the next window, he can do it. It could cost us. We're too open at the back.
So my position, I agree, I like his honesty. I agree with what Phil said. I like his honesty. However, he's too honest. He's telling the players they're rubbish. Three times he's told them the rubbish.
Yeah.
Before Arsenal, after Arsenal, and after Forest. You need the 101 of football player management is tell them they're great and make them all happy and keep them on your side, because they'll just seem another manager at the club if he carries on like this. As for working out what players you've got, well, a manager of any sort should know what the players are at Man United and which are the best players and what they need to do. And he shouldn't have to play too many games to work that out. So, and I'm losing him already. which absolutely.
You've got to give the bloke a chance.
I was laughing. I'm laughing though, John, because you'd actually lost him at the point where he was still unbeaten.
Yeah.
You lost him. I can pinpoint the exact moment.
Well, he played Eriksen and Casemiro together, and the last time those two played together, we lost at West Ham. And next thing you know, we played them together, and they lost, and we lost. You know. So it's not rocket science.
Was that?
But I think with the central midfield, he has had some injuries, hasn't he? In players coming back, so.
He's always got injuries. He's always going to struggle because the squad's all over the place. There's a lot of young players. I mean, Ten Hag, it was. This is why I was always like never fully behind the decision to bin him when we did. And I know we'd have a shocking 18 months, but I could see that. What he was trying to edge towards, the tactics on the pitch, yeah, was always a little bit of a mystery, and the substitutions and that kind of thing. But for actually like trying to like dismantle an old squad and build a new one, and he was promoting kids, and we were like the club were like recruiting younger kids as well who we won't see for 2 or 3 years. And also trying to move players. I could see what he was trying to do, but it just, unfortunately, you don't get 4 or 5 years to do that anymore. No. You've got 2 years tops. Otherwise, you're out the door.
Four games for you.
4 games in. Four games, John. I'm just glad you're not on the board. You know.
But we're going to have to give Amorim 2 years, aren't we? 2 or 3 years, because clearly the squad that he's currently got won't be able to play his system. You know, not all the players in that squad are going to play in that system.
No, definitely not.
So they're going to have to give in 2 years. There's going to be no money in January, clearly.
Yeah.
So you're then looking at summer for his first transfer.
But what is there in the summer? They spent a lot of money this summer.
£200 million was spent. That's frightening in the players.
I mean, they can't expect it. Is he going to expect a similar number next summer? It's just wild to me.
But I think we have to get behind him, I think.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you've got
get behind him.
He needs time, and we just are where we are. We're in a bit of a mire at the moment, but we all said at the start of the season this was going to be another tough season.
I like a manager to come out he was mates with them all, he bigged them all up, he told them they were all great, and a big smile on his face or something. But all I've seen is he says, we're going to get caught out, we're no good, we're going to get caught out. Pre-Arsenal, post-Arsenal says, I told you they were rubbish. Yeah. And post-Forest, he also said, exactly the same, he's just negative.
No, I like the idea of eventually, though, we are going to get caught out. Not necessarily singling players out, but we are going to get caught out. It's a new system. Some of them can't play there, particularly, you know, you look at the wing backs. You know, Ahmad's looked great. You know, he's looked great, hasn't he? But it's a young kid playing in a new system.
Yeah.
Who's a winger. He's a forward, in reality. And he's now asking him to defend as well.
So he's going to have good games and he's going to have bad games as well.
And I think we just have to take that. There'll be good and bad games of all the players.
Like Garnacho's going through it at the minute. He's hit a real dip in form and people are questioning him. Is he good enough?
I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's
perfect.
Thank you. Has he been overpromoted? For his age, is it, you know, is he overrated? Are everyone's expectations of him too high?
I think sometimes, well, certainly the last few weeks, Garnacho just makes the wrong choices. Never crosses the ball. I mean, it was at Arsenal when Malessi had played and he was on the overlap all the time. And if I was Malessi, I'd have turned around and slapped him because he kept running and running and running and he never ever got that ball.
Yeah, it was a hangover from Ten Hag.
But he never crossed it.
I don't think it was. I think it was that was a hangover from that previous game. I think it was the Everton game.
Giving it away.
But because
Ahmad makes better choices, I think.
But Garnacho and Malacia playing on the left. Because Malacia, he's trying to... Garnacho was feeding him numerous times, and Malassia's delivery was absolutely shocking, got taken off at half time from memory. But the first game back after 2 years, so this is what we're up against. He's trying to blood a new system with, yeah, like in extreme circumstances.
Like, yeah.
You're playing a young lad who's not played for 2 years,
yeah,
and there's no recognised left back available.
Yeah, because Shaw's injured again.
And if you're playing three at the back, then two absolute top quality wing backs are a must. And we've not got that. Dalot tries his hardest, doesn't he? But even his staunchest fucking fan couldn't say that, like, yeah, he is top draw. Really.
Yeah, he's not a top draw wing back, is he? No. He's just not. No.
I respect him because out of all our squad, he's like one of the probably handful you could accuse. He's there every single game. He's never injured. His attitude is
His attitude is fantastic. First class, yeah. He's up for every game, isn't he?
And sometimes he turns in out of, you know, he'll turn out, best you could hope for is a 6 out of 7 out of 10 performance, but then sometimes he falls below that, unfortunately. Mm. That's his limitations.
It happens.
Just go to the 200 million we spent then, in the summer, and the players. Out of them, was it five? How many would you? So there was De Ligt, Xerxes,
Yoro,
the lad that I can never pronounce his name, that's actually the best lad in there. Mazzauri, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Who else? I thought there was another one. Who was it? Mazzauri, is it only four? Who would you keep?
Because I think Mazzauri.
Well. Oh, Ugarte, because he come out slightly after. I'd keep him, and I'd keep Mazzauri. Xerxes for me, I don't know.
Well, you haven't gone though, but Yoro's been injured, hasn't he? Played two games.
Yoro, we don't know yet.
I don't know yet. I think that's unfair. Don't know yet.
Xerxes is not impressed, has it? But
shocking.
Again, and was he the most expensive?
He's not impressed. However, the Premiership's a different proposition.
Completely.
You know, we've seen strikers come in the Premiership and they've really struggled that first
Premier
season.
League, you're being rugby here, right?
It's been really difficult for them. You know, strikers that have come into the.
I think with any foreign player, and he is still only a young, although he looks 40. He's only like 22, 23, and he's hurt.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same age as, like, I don't know. I think the thing with Xerxes is he's got, like, the way he plays, he's got that sort of, like, languid style, hasn't he? You know, like, sort of.
Plainy.
Berbatov without the skill.
But it's Berbatov, like, sort of, like, style of play. Mm. Like, he looks, like, lazy. So when he's trying things and they don't come off, then people
get hammered.
People used to hammer Berbatov, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
People
he was a fantastic
absolutely
footballer.
Hammered Berbatov.
Yeah. So what do we know about tonight? The team we're playing tonight?
Because I'm not sure that's the next. I'm not sure that's the next topic question.
I know. Why are you moving us away from what we're talking about?
It's a discussion.
No.
It's not a regimental talk.
Oh, it is.
All right. What's the next on the agenda?
Next on the agenda is after hammering. What do we reckon to the Dan Ashworth development? Did anyone see that coming?
No.
Saint Dan?
No.
Did anyone see it coming? He didn't see it coming.
No. But I think, in hindsight, you look at it in hindsight and say, well, how many people do you need running the football club?
Yeah,
you know, there's Brailsford on the board, Jean-Claude
Van
on
Dan.
The board.
What did we get, Van Dan?
Yeah, Jean-Claude on the...
You don't sack him.
Jean-Claude Blanc on the board. Yeah. You've got Omar Barrady coming in. You've got Wilcox.
And you
had Ashworth. Did you really need
that many senior people?
Senior people. And all the roles seem to crumble up slightly. Yeah. So I think it was inevitable that some of them or one of them had to go. And there may be other ones.
It's still poor for Mineos, though, isn't it? Given that Brailsford, he was his number one target, they spent 10 months courting him, you know, of which 5 months of that was on gardening leave. And then the fact that he brought in a huge expense, a huge fuss, to come in like, this is it, blue chip recruitment, we're the fucking men, we're in.
I think it's poor on Brailsford, because Brailsford led the review, and his outcome would have been, we need a structure that looks like X.
He's
then gone and filled the boxes. And now they're saying, well, we don't need a structure that looks like X anymore. We want a structure that looks something slightly different. The review was 5 months ago. It's poor, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So is it Brailsford that really gets the camp?
The optics of it aren't bad at all. The last thing we needed after, you know, that after the manager was another sort of, like, it just makes, it's like, makes the club look like even more chaotic.
Yeah, the club looks like, particularly as we've paid off Newcastle and we're going to have to pay him off. That just makes it a comedy for 2 months' work, 3 months' work. Yeah. I think from his point of view, though, you know, what's he been here 2 months? I think he probably felt his nose was out of joint. He's been hired in this position and he's not been given.
It was the 1st of July, so it was 5 months he was
in post. Okay. But then in that period, we've sacked a manager and brought a new manager in. And from what I read, he hasn't been involved in the discussions to bring that new manager in. Now, in his position, should he be?
What was his position?
You've got to.
Wilcox was reporting to Ashworth.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And then Ashworth was reporting the only person above it.
The gist of all the reports is that Ashworth had felt that his nose was pushed out of joint and he wasn't being included in the big discussions, and he was like sort of a bit of a, you know, he was like, what he was actually being tasked with doing, he didn't match up with that. Yeah, other people were making those decisions and he wasn't part of the discussion.
You wonder whether overall it's just been Ratcliffe's decision.
Yeah.
You know, Ratcliffe has clearly felt fed up with Ashworth's comments of, you know, keeping Ten Hag on was nothing to do with me. That's what Ashworth said.
It
was nothing to do with me. And clearly, you know, it's been reported that Ratcliffe didn't like that. So, you know, Ratcliffe's a hard-nosed businessman, you know, that sets businesses apart and reconstructs businesses, and that involves getting rid of people. And did he just not like what's been said and said, right, he's gone? You know, you can't publicly disagree with me.
The thing is that I will say, though, I would rather them, if they have identified that it wasn't working, I'm glad that they've just done it like that quickly, as opposed to just, I mean, if it was still under Woodward, we would have just meandered on, wouldn't we? Just thinking, oh, this isn't quite working, but we'll give it another 18 months and see if it miraculously fixes itself or falls into place. I suppose it's better that they've at least been that brutal and gone, no, this ain't working, off you pop.
Yeah. So in hindsight, for me, you could see it. You know, you look back and say, yes, I can see why it's been done. Does it make us look
incompetent?
No, yes.
More than usual.
Absolutely. No, yeah, but no more than usual. Paul.
Okay, so we'll briefly touch. Is it confident tonight, gents? Or
they're all about the same points as us, aren't they?
They're all
about the same position in the league.
Do you want me to tell you where they are in their league?
Yeah, go on.
The second in their league.
Top quality Czech league, then.
10 points behind who's first, or I can't remember. And the level with us in the
Europa. Are we confident? Or do we think we'll get a result tonight? Do we think we'll put a strong team out and we'll be all...
I think we'll change it.
We don't need to win to qualify, but if we want to avoid the playoffs in February, then it's ideal to win. Yeah.
I think he'll change it again and tell the players that they were going to be very poor pre-game. In an Amarim style. That's my prediction.
Philip, you think you're confident United will get 3 points tonight?
I'm confident we'll get 3 points tonight.
Yeah.
I think we'll concede some goals, but I think
we're looking at
I think it can be exciting.
They're
tonight.
Always good, they're always 4-3, aren't they?
Yeah,
these games,
I think it can be exciting. I think we'll score goals.
Yeah. We'll go 2-0 up after 10 and then see what occurs.
I mean, we've got the players to be able to score goals, more goals than them, but I think we'll concede as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what occurs, and we're going to go and drink lots more Czech lager now. So we'll try and reconvene after the game and get some post-match thoughts. Cheers.
See if I was right.
Yes. Well, we won't know, will we? Because we're not going to be watching, listening to his pre-match.
I'll read about it.
All right, okay. All right, well, we'll speak to you later. Bye-bye. Good evening, everyone. We're back for part 2 of the podcast. We're back in Pilsen in quite different surroundings to when we last had control of this podcast, if you remember. When we were
polar
in
opposites.
We were in Porto with drills going, and now and now we've deliberately come somewhere quiet and we're in some wine bar where there's it's quite fancy in here, isn't it?
It's lovely. No pink Christmas trees like this morning in here, is it?
It's been served by the girl from the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah. There's jazz playing in the background.
Phil's getting excited about it.
Very nice place. Very nice place. Glass of wine going on.
I know.
Very civilised.
Very, very incredibly civilised. We've got some nice plump green olives and some mozzarella and some little crackers
cheese.
On the table. Cheese, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and incredibly, remarkably almost, Manchester United have won an away game in Europe for the first time in over 2 years. I think.
Wow, I didn't know
that. Is that the stat?
I think the last time was Omonoia, the Cypriot team, and that was like October, November 22, I think.
Wow, I didn't know.
So it's like the first time.
Were you there with Rias?
Yeah. It's the first time in two. I'm sure it is. I might be wrong. I've not checked, but I think from memory, that's the first away game we've won in Europe.
I think if you look at all the aways we've been to since then, I can't recall us winning. I can recall us getting in front and getting beat or drawing, but I can't. Yeah. You might be right.
Why is Rias not here?
Why is Rias not here?
Because he's going to Australia in a couple of days, and so he's bottled it.
He's going down under.
No cheese.
So anyway, tonight's game, a tale of like two halves almost. The first hour, absolutely abysmal. And then he dragged Rashford off. And Xerxes.
Tell us about the home end, the way end when he dragged Rashford off.
Oh yeah. Tonight, it's worth noting.
Jumping around a bit.
Just hang on. Tonight, it's worth noting that there was audible dissent in the away end when... for Rashford's performance. They were all bad, but I thought Rashford in particular, body language was the usual, like, abysmal. Every time the ball was played to him, he was giving it. He just couldn't do anything right. And when he finally, like, put him out of his misery, there was audible cheers from a significant number of that away end tonight.
Yeah.
Not for the first time where Rashford's concerned in the United away end, but tonight was like palpable, like sense of like
because it was such a small following.
People are genuinely
a big percentage of
lost all faith in him, like lost it with him.
Yeah, I think it's as you say, his body language, but it's just his lack of effort sometimes. I don't know. You think when you go 1-0 down to a silly goal. You think he'd be chasing everything, and you know, and it, just not just him, but he just wasn't, was he?
I'd say when he looked last time, he looked great. Rashford, he looked absolutely fantastic after he'd watched that netball game in New York when he walked out.
Netball, I think you'll call. I think it's called basketball, John.
Oh, right.
Well, it's same sort of thing.
Yeah. Not netball, then.
No, close. I'll give you. But you mentioned him getting taken off. And Xerxes getting taken off. I think when Xerxes went off, Mount come on. And I'm not Mount's biggest fan, but I thought he played really well when he came on. Almost. I know there's a lot of subs made at the same time, but he almost changed the game. We just looked more
effort.
Mobile.
Yeah.
Mount brings more dangerous. Energy to the side. Yeah, it really occurs. It really occurs at the moment. He wants to get into the team. He wants to make a difference for United, and he cares.
Yeah,
you know, he's putting an effort, he's putting the shift in.
I think I know everyone's like a massive downer on Antony, but I thought he was similar tonight.
There was an
injection of pace, wasn't there, across the attack, and all of a sudden they were on the back foot. And I mean, they were on the back foot all night. United dominated possession, but they were rattled all of a sudden.
I thought it was a brilliant change by the coach. You know, he brought Antony on. Diallo played a little bit deep at that point, a little bit behind him, and it just created space for Diallo to have a run at players, which is what he's good at.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought it made a difference to the team.
Good spot.
Just going back to that possession in the first half. We had 73% possession and we had one shot on target. I mean, you look at stats like that and you think, how can you keep the ball for that long? and not have any shots. You know, what are you doing with it?
And with all respect to them, they were very disciplined and they kept the shape and everything. But they were completely non-threatening.
Gifted them a goal.
Any decent side would just brush them aside without even thinking.
100%. That, I mean, all right, I've touched on it, the goal. Yeah, it's a mistake, but it's a terrible mistake. How is he not seeing the lad there 10 yards in front of him? It wasn't even blocked by a player. He was just, he just gifted him. It was just bizarre.
He's a nana.
Boom, boom.
I think we have to talk about the positives in the game, though. You know, he made a change, and it completely changed it in that second half. You know, they looked a different side, and they looked like they were trying. They were fighting for him, and they wanted the win. You know, we went 1-1, and then we pushed on again, you know, and got the winning goal.
And I think it's worth saying, that second goal, that the first touch to himself was world-class.
It was superb.
Flicked it up to himself. To then have the nails to put it right across into the other corner. It was a superb.
Yeah, that's pleased for him. That's pleased for him. He's so much better than Zeus.
I'll say as well, being at the game, the United in the second half was really, really good today. We were saying today, like, where's the tickets gone? What would the end be like? Would there be loads of tourists and that? That was a really solid United end today. It was all the people there who you'd expect to be there, like all the usual faces. And everyone, after like a sort of a quiet first half and everyone was grumbling, second half we went 1-0 down, and that was just like prompted then. There was like a 20-minute calypso version of the calypso that went on and on. Everyone like properly got behind him, and there was like genuine celebrations for that winner. At the end, it was quite, you know what I mean, came out of there buzzing. Because
well, I think,
it's like,
Paul, you came back to us tonight and you were buzzing.
Yeah.
I've not seen you buzzing for a while, but it was absolutely
no,
United
anyway.
When you came back tonight.
Yeah, Paul, yeah. I stayed till the end tonight.
Yeah.
Which is,
that says a
Jesus
lot.
Christ, that does say a lot.
But no, it was good, like properly, genuinely enthused by that. It's a bit of a novelty, isn't it? It's a rare occasion we come away and we're happy and we've won.
Are we winning it then?
Yeah, we are.
Excellent.
We're going to Bilbao.
Yeah.
Well, we look at I think it's because we played a game extra at this point in time, but were we fifth before?
We're fifth for a bit, now we're sixth as things stand. Because
the other games have kicked off.
Because Rangers are beating Spurs.
Sovereign.
I don't know. The games are still going on. Yeah. Last time I looked, we were sixth. But
going down now.
Why? What are we now?
Eight.
Yeah, the other games haven't kicked off.
That's all right. That qualifies us.
It's still better than
a few games.
We were in Porto. We were like 23rd, weren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
What we've got to ask about tonight's games is it shapes a Mourinho's mind a little bit more, you know, in terms of the players that he's going to trust, the players that are going to fight for him a little bit more.
Which,
you know,
leads us up to.
Which puts us into the starting players who are going to play every week or not, perhaps. You know, I don't know.
It's all about resting players who don't need resting.
Too many subs.
No, John, he's got to rotate because we're playing.
Why?
Because I told you, because when we were having this argument a week ago.
Sorry, Liverpool won 6 with the same 11 and went away with the same 11 who will play on the weekend, stuck another win.
John,
the same 11.
Liverpool are a mature side who are a well oiled machine who are like used to winning. Week
well,
in, week out.
They don't need resting, do they?
John, they've got a new manager, though.
We are making the last orders.
Seamlessly back into it, we paused there because the girl with the dragon tattoo came and told us it was last orders. No, we had this conversation a week ago when you were whinging. Liverpool are a top side, John. United's half full of kids, full of new signings,
and
miserable form. So he's got every right as a new manager to rotate.
Don't rotate.
But that's what he's trying to do, surely.
He's trying to find his best players at the moment that fits his system.
He's had long enough.
The people who are going. No, he's not had long enough, has he? You know, he's had half a dozen games, basically.
Okay, that leaves
it's a strange position you're taking up here, John, I've got to say.
Of hate. It's because the guy's got hair.
Yeah, the guy's
got a beard. Senna.
Hag.
Lovely, luscious beard.
Really not full head. Not happy about
not follically challenged.
He loved Ten Hag because he was a fella baldy.
Yeah.
And now he's got, really got manager happy. With hair. The last manager John liked was Wilf McGuinness. Anyway, Leeds is on just what Phil's saying about who you trust. Who do you trust for Sunday against City? Now, seeing what you've seen tonight, these players for me, like Mount, who I'd start with.
Players with energy. Yeah, players who players with energy.
You've
ball.
Got to go at City.
You know, they're struggling at the back, City, at the moment. They're struggling in midfield. You have to go with players that are going to put a shift in.
So you can't put Casemiro. You've got to put Ugarte in. You've got to put high-tempo players in that are going to attack them. Because you sit back, like we did against Arsenal, City will hammer us. But their defence is awful. How many did they let in? How many City let in that 8 games?
22
goals. It's ridiculous. If we go at them, we'll beat them.
I'm going to say, who do I trust for Sunday? None of them. And I'm going to leave it at that.
No.
But you're playing a different calibre of team.
I know, City are not on form.
And this, it'll be apoplectic when we get rolled over 2 or 3 nil. But City and Arsenal are at that level. Victoria Pilsen are like 3 or 4 levels below them.
We've got a chance. We've not got a better chance in the last few years than playing City on Sunday. All the pressure's on them. With what
they
they've
are,
done in the last 10 games.
They are so nervous at the moment.
Yeah, all the pressure's on them.
One win in 10.
All the pressure on them. They've got to win it. Can you imagine if we beat them there, that record in the last 10 games?
That'd be fantastic, yeah.
The pressure's on them, but we've got to play on it. We've got to go at them.
But it depends what he wants to play now. Who wants to play the game? You look at last season, City away from home, 70 minutes, we were winning.
Yeah.
Rashford scored that goal. We were 1-0 up. Was 70 minutes,
oh,
and they beat us. They beat us 3-1. They beat us 3-1.
We let them play.
Totally against play. We scored a goal, and then we defended, and then they beat us 3-1. So
there's so many of them crushing defeats that I just forget.
You just erased.
I've just erased them. All of them. It's like I couldn't tell you when the 7-1 or 6. There's been so many, haven't there? 7-1, 6-7, City and Liverpool have just absolutely fucking
who didn't,
taken the piss out of us for about 5 or 6 years.
Who didn't come on tonight and who played very well in the cup final? Maynard.
Saving him.
For Sunday. I'd put him in.
Well, it's a player that's just come back from an injury, a big injury. He's come back, he's played
to normal people, to him, he's ridiculous
he needs
for not
to be
playing him.
But no, he's a young player.
I'd be resting,
20 years old.
You would have done. You agree with that, then?
Yeah.
So you're giving that hammering credit for that? Or was it just an accident?
On one player you got right.
Right.
One thing you got right tonight, all night.
So on that bombshell, John has finally found some common ground with Amorim. For not
unbelievable.
Playing. Yeah, incredible scenes.
It won't last.
He's got alopecia now.
Anything else, gentlemen?
Other than Hoyland, when he came on, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, he came on, he battled for every ball, he scored that goal, you know, which wasn't, the first one wasn't an easy, he come across him quick. I know it was, you look at it on a replay and you think, well, I could have put it in, but he's come across him quite quick.
No, that's a world class finish.
Yeah. And the second one was just a world class finish.
Sorry, I wasn't talking about the first one.
The first one was, you know, it's come across him quick.
Amad did really well to give him the first one.
World class finish.
Yeah, it was literally a striker's reaction.
Yeah.
Because he had to do it in a split.
That second one was absolutely brilliant finish. Play.
Who put the ball through to him? Bruno. Great ball from the free kick, wasn't it? Perfectly weighted, and then he flicked it up to himself. Brilliant.
Yeah. Right, okay. Not going to labour over this. Anything else you'd like to add?
Barney always has to do pet hates. And
all right, pet hates.
Do we not
have you got anything?
I think I have.
Go on.
My pet hate is you. Not you personally, is you. Not telling us that it was an easy jib at the turnstiles and how many were doing it.
Yeah, but I only found out that once I was in the ground.
Well, you should have come out, phoned me, we could have gone back in.
It wasn't easy jib today. There was a ticket check about 30 yards from the ground. They were literally just looking for if you were in possession of a barcode. And then once you got to the turnstiles, there was one sort of steward per 4 turnstiles, or about 8 or 12 turnstiles, like banks of 4. Like, literally no one there, no coppers or anything. And then stewards on the inside, so loads were doubling up and getting in. So, yeah, apologies for that. But a good night for the jibbers, because it was a very easy jib.
Yeah. We should have realised that when we went this morning and saw the ground and that, we should have twigged it, but probably... Mind you saying that, the amount of police we've seen today down the city centre, I thought the ground would be covered in police. We've seen police on every corner.
To be fair, they were good. It was like the German model, whereas it was all... There was, like, loads of police there, but it was all very low-key in the background.
It's just not my doing. Not like French police that just smack you.
Which works.
So
that was my pet.
Yeah, it was good. But
there's any others?
Pet loves.
Stick with pet eight. John, have you got anything on
pace? No.
No.
About the trip.
Philip?
Mike sold off on the still podcast. Hate his ticket prices.
Ticket. Well, we're not doing that again. We've done that.
Still my
it's still rankles.
Yeah.
You got any, Paul? You got pet hate from today or from
No, I'm happy, mate. I'm happy tonight. I'm really happy.
For you to stay to the final whistle, including injury time, says he must be a happy man. Yeah, you can't have a pet hate.
It's a novelty, isn't it? We've come from behind.
It is on your way.
It's Christmas. There's Christmas trees everywhere.
Did he really just get held in?
No, we walked straight out. I really enjoyed it, really good.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there was a good atmosphere around the town here, because the whole town was up for it.
I don't mean
over the top up for it. I mean, every bar, restaurant, all the tables were booked. They all wanted to watch the game. Even people that wouldn't normally go to
the box office.
Everyone was talking about it. United
all
coming.
Their supporters, everybody loved it.
It was a big thing for them.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how shit United are, though. It's always going to be
United in town, and it was just a big thing for them, wasn't it? And it was, it was good. Yeah, not bad.
Okay, then. Thanks, gents.
No worries.
Yeah. As Nathan always says, glory, glory, Man United, to the regiment, etc., etc. Thanks for listening. Barney had a bad week with the mag, with all the rain at the weekend, so there's still plenty of this latest mag to sell. Please buy the mag, like, subscribe, etc., etc., if you enjoy the podcast. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thanks to the lads for that. I'm back in the dungeon wishing I was in Christmas markets and Pilsen and Prague. But John, come on. Having a go at Amarin 6 games in, Jesus Christ. Let's have a bit of patience, please. He's recognising this ongoing shit show, and it's going to take a long, long, long time. What we are, unfortunately, and sometimes fortunately, is one in three, the players, 1 in 4 games, 1 in 2 at best. So their performances are like that. That's why we're not a 90-minute team. At least we won, and fair play. What we are, this is why, like, I criticised Hoyland in the last one where I thought he was looked out of his depth against Arsenal, but his finish for the second was absolutely class. And he scored quite a few from that little left-hand area. Spurs last season, was it? Where it dips in. So my tactics, Amarin, just punt it there and get Hoyland to stay there onside for 50 times a game. But it was superb, like brilliant. And Ahmad is clearly, Matsarahi bonuses, but Ahmad is clearly someone he likes, so we're going to see a lot of him. I hope that we start seeing Manu and Ugarte start in there as well, and just, I know he wants to see everyone, but maybe see him in the training pitch and then work out a best 11. It did work for Erik ten Hag in the honeymoon period, because I think you need to get a bit of consistency. You ain't going to drop Unana. Sadly, he's just having one of those spells, and where the thing is, you can see where it works for Xerxes' run, playing out of the back, but generally we're so poor at it. Please have a plan B. I mean, I don't like it at the best of times. I get what the ultimate aim is, but someone undo the pepification of football and work out a way to get it quickly, still retaining the ball rather than that nonsense, because it remains brown pants. The other week, the second before last podcast, we had Peter. I listen back, it still makes me laugh. And then I'm trying to work out, was that Nick shivering? Was it his cat purring, or was it him purring on his lap? But thanks for that. I think we dried out from a week ago. It was shambolic. So thanks everyone who's supporting the mag. Thanks everyone who's supporting the Mind campaign. Xerxes, I've defended him and then they've sort of lost me, but he's epitomizing. Hear me out, please, Reds. But I do think he's a 1 in 3 player. I mean, at Everton, if you look back, I look back at just recently, he had a good game, two goals, and then that run yesterday was just like, whoa, where's that Xerxes been for the other 1,000 minutes this season? I just think, again, they join a shit show, whether they're ultimately very good, but you need to pump their confidence and use their strengths. And I still maintain he's quite a good layoff player. There's loads of you just throwing something at this, but I'm not losing. I'm back in you, the Xerxes camp. Not as a starter, but maybe just offering something as a sub. Still dreading Sunday. Look, they're on a bad run of form, so why should my psyche, my collective United angst, be that, oh no, dreading a pasting? They're not playing well. Rashford sometimes has a good game there. Go for it. Just, it's got to be better than the last few embarrassments. Don't get embarrassed again. Show some heart and fight. I don't want to see, with 20 minutes to go, the heads down, everything gone, and just the United end bereft again. Who knows, but it's just... And then we've got Spurs, so please not let it be the fucking half-decent Spurs and we get the shit show Spurs. Wolves is Wolves. Hate it. Hate Wolves. Hate the concept of playing Wolves whenever. Hate the theory of playing Wolves whenever. And then I'm missing Bournemouth because we're going away. So I bet it's a 9-goal thriller. Well, I hope so. Let's just hope this is a good run and it's not. Because we're going to try and... I might try one last-minute pod at Spurs. I'll be selling the mag at... And then it will be the Christmas pod, and then we're done till Newcastle. So support the mag. I'll just summed up United season that we went from fifth to eighth in minutes in the Europa League. How's that worked? Thanks to Pete last week, I forgot to say, he came over and said such lovely words with his family and his kid at the first game about the pod, about the mag. And he gave some money for beers for the sellers do. It was just really kind. And things like that, as Nick said, it just cheers us up when we're feeling lost. To better days, eh? On and off the pitch. The 66 still sieves. There's no U-turn. I see Southampton's on general sale. Look how many empty seats. Yes, midweeks we've always had empty seats. But how scandalous at this club. Post-Christmas, you know, you think, I'll get a kid a Christmas present. Southampton, not many will go, but I fancy it with my son and daughter, and then you go, oh no, that'll be 132 quid for them, they're only 9 or 10 or whatever. It's a disgrace. And as I say, Ratcliffe's interview just made me fearful for what's to come. So out of touch. I'm so glad Andy did it, because it's out there and he said aloud the preposterous thinking that they've been saying together. We've got to just keep fighting it, Reds. We cannot let this go, because we're at the end game, and this will tip so many over with fears of the season ticket prices to come. That's what a fanzine is. You may just want this to concentrate on the football, but we can't, because United's a community, so we fight for a better run United on and off pitch. And it made me laugh that this scandal is these great owners, this lie that about great owners. Confront the elephant in the room that is being ridden in a pram by Avram. That's where we're in this mess from. It's not us to charge. And I'll keep going on and on. So let's hope the 1-in-3s become 1-in-2s, become 1-in-1, because again, I know it wasn't the greatest performance, Pilsen, but you suddenly think, yeah, he's a bit better, he's a bit better. Yes, there are ongoing concerns, but just get a tune out of this. What are we? What is this Manchester United? Well, we'll learn a bit more over the next 5 games. Amorin, I don't dispute. I'm glad he's just saying. I know you can't say it like down the line, oh, we're going to get spanked, but he can't lie to us. He can't say this squad is great. It's not. It's just not. But you hope, he ain't going to get it spill over Christmas, but training, that something gets into their thick skulls, their stupid decision making, cut it out, and also work out, right, this system, if he's going to stick to it, who can play it? And then you stick to that, and then you bring the players in who can't. Still, is there hope for Mount? I don't know. So many don't knows, and I say that a million times this year, but that's maybe I'm saying I don't know, because this batshit club does to us. What are we? Who are we? Let's hope we got Bill Bauer. 2025 is kind. Cup, scab, a cup, Reds are back. So, to Sunday. Oh, I'm one of those I just hate. Oh. Let's hope it's one of those days. Take care of yourselves, Reds. So, yeah, we've got a couple more coming, and the Christmas pod is good. But most of all, just we can will United to do better, we can want United to do better, but let's not try. I'm not going to sulk my way through Christmas because of these bunch of charlatans. And the debate about Rashford goes on and on. You know, we hear so many stories you will have seen in gossip. But the Everton, I know it's a very simplistic, archaic approach, but he scored the goal and he wasn't smiling at all the whole way through the celebrations. Ahmad's next to him smiling. I just thought, something's not right, but a footballer after a goal should be smiling. And I don't know, is that just the key concept to get him going again? Maybe he needs the move. Is that thing best for him, best for us? But it's very sad that it's come to this, because you want to see your footballers, if they're scoring, after the amount of fucking debacles we've had, if we're winning 4-0 against Everton, to be showing that they're happy. But so many things, you could write a thesis on this lot, but don't let it get you down. Take care of yourselves, Reds. To the regiment. Glory, glory, Man United. I maintain, with Xerxes at the front, glory days will be ahead. I just got no fucking ideas when. Take care.